Yo, 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 what's poppin'? What's poppin'? It's your boy Smith. We here live on the Smith Express Show. Got my big partner with me, my co-host Netto Man.
Netto Man in the building. What's poppin', y'all? Shot town everywhere. Worldwide, stand up. Smith Express, get in tune.
Yeah. Today is definitely a special day. Got my big homie, partner been on the ground for a minute, dropping number fire, exclusive bombs. Hey, buddy, lit. Shout out to the big homie Valid from Detroit. What's
big
good?
Yeah. What up, dog? What up, dog, world? Smith and Netto, we're here, man. The Smith Express Show. I'm happy to be here, baby.
313.
Hey, we're here, baby.
Fuck free world.
Yeah, fuck them.
Man, G. Man. It's definitely an honor to have you on my show, my dude.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, bro.
Man, so let's get straight into it, my G.
Yeah.
So what exactly got you into the music field?
I think, bro, when I was a little kid, it was nothing like music to me, bro. It was just nothing felt like that in the world. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really fall in love with anything, any other, I don't know, hobby, just for like a lack of better terms, or endeavors or whatever. But music just was pure magic. It was like the only thing that was magic to me in the real world. You know what I'm saying? It still is to this day. Music is like magic. I fell in love with it. I was a huge I loved all genres of music as a kid, bro. Like straight up, literally, like damn near all genres, from pop to country to rap to whatever the fuck. But it was really, man, Michael Jackson. When I was a kid, Michael Jackson was you know what I'm saying? Beyond human to me when I would see him on the TV. So music just caught my heart, bro.
Hey, that's what's up. Hey, big up to Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah, big ups to Michael Jackson. And that glove. For real. And then, you know, as I got older, I really, really fell in love. It was really Biggie Smalls, though, that grabbed me by the collar and said, yo, this hip-hop shit is where it's really, really at. And so Biggie Smalls was really like the gateway drug into hip-hop for me. I started writing. And, you know, long story short, man, I just said, I love this shit too much to want to do anything else. You know what I'm saying? That's really what it was.
Biggie Smalls just grabbed you by the elbow and told you to throw your rollie in the sky, huh?
Yeah, no, I heard I was probably 10 years old, and clear as day, dog. I know exactly what road we were on. I was in the back of my uncle's truck, and like I said, I'm in the back seat, and he just had the radio playing. He was talking to, I think, my brother, who was in the passenger seat, so he just had the radio playing for me. They weren't paying no mind. And this song called "More Money, More Problems" comes on.
Likewise.
You're 10 years old.
Likewise.
You're 10 years old. Some shit that sounds that catchy, that just bumping. Just like it was, you know what I mean? It just pumped through my veins.
Dope.
Right away. And I was like, what the fuck is this, man? It's giving me an adrenaline rush. Biggie Smalls, dog. That was my gateway drug. Straight up.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. Cause, hey, likewise with me too.
Yeah, that was the jam. And then we got cable TV not too long after that, and I saw what he looked like, and I saw the Hypnotized video, and I was like, oh, that's him. And I just knew I wanted to be Biggie Smalls when I grew up, dog. As simple as that.
And we all want to be Biggie.
We all want to be Biggie.
I'm not even fat, black, and ugly. I'm like Mexican, almost handsome, and almost skinny.
Still, keep it Gucci down to the socks, the rings, and watch Philly. Come on, dog.
That's what's up, man. But hey, but you coming from Detroit? Detroit is a hip hop city. You know what I'm
hard,
saying?
And you know what? They hard. They hard with that. They
music in general, music in general, but hip hop city. And I love coming to Detroit because, you know what I'm saying, to perform and do book signings because, like, it's always been love since day
Detroit,
one.
Detroit tough. Y'all be having y'all chest out. Even the white boys be like, what's it to you?
Yeah, Detroit's got, in my opinion, a very well deserved reputation for cranking out, like, MCs, and just dope producers. You know, it gets crazy when you're waving the same flag that when people see that flag, they think of cats like Jay Dilla, they think of cats like Eminem, Slum Village, Big Proof, Royce da 5'9". You know, in my eyes, probably you know, maybe the best rapper bar for bar in the world right now. Elzai, you know, another just world-renowned, respected lyricist.
Hey, he got his got his fan base. He is slept on because, like, the industry-wise don't know him, but it's like he's been
can't
around.
Know him. You know, it's you just got to be a true hip-hop head and you fuck with Elzai. You know, like, he... Shout out to Elzai. He was on my Mihailo album, and he helped me a lot. He was just kind of, like, real cool, man. And I still talk to him. And that's the homie. And he just always quick to, like, drop a gem. You know what I'm saying? With so many years in the game as an independent artist or what we want to call a underground hip-hop artist. But yet, at the same time, he's seen the mountaintop. You know, when you got songs with Kanye West that are on 106 The Park and you're a young man like he was when he was a part of Slum Village, you know, and he's got a song with Kanye West, John Legend, I'm calling, maybe I'm selfish, and you're touring the world and doing these big things. So shout out to L for being you know, a little bit, I don't know if I'm going as far as say mentor, but just being cool as fuck and just kind of giving that older cousin vibe, like, you know, I seen this, that, and the third. Be careful of this, that, and the third, and X, Y, Z. So shout out to L.
Shout out to L, Zai.
Hey, that's what's up. Hey, but you know what I'm saying? Well, when I'm in Detroit, one of the producers I always rock with, shout out to Mo Dirty, but Nick Speed. Big up to Nick Speed.
Oh, man. Nick Speed, that's my bro, dog. Nick Speed done went to St. Louis and rock shows. We done went out of town and rock shows.
He
produced one of my biggest joints, the new Nasty, the original song called New Nasty, and then there's a remix called New Nasty with Dusty McFly and Nisha Nashe on it. And yeah, Nick Speed, that's like, man, I talk to him probably damn near once, maybe twice a week, if damn near, and we just be dying laughing on the phone. Not even talking about rap shit, just everything. That's a genuine friend of mine. Shout out to Nick Speed and shout out to Mo Dirty. Yes,
shout
sir.
Out to Nick Speed, Mo Dirty.
Man, G. Hey, every time I come in there, man, it's always love, G. For real, for real.
Yeah, it's always love, man. We you know, like back to the first question, when it comes to like MCs and shit, we real hard. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you got respect, man, Detroit, we like an open arm city, man. Like we want to build. You know, some people have this idea that, you know, Detroit cats don't fuck with non-Detroit cats. That's not the truth, man. I build with Chicago cats. My dog Slade, you know, me and him did a whole project together where it was just kind of like a Detroit hip hop, Chicago hip hop, like bridging the gap shit. And shout out to all my Chicago people, man. Slade, Neek, Fillmore Green, them all my peoples, man. Love them guys.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Shy City. That's like my home from home. Swear to God.
Shy City.
Yeah, man. Shy City and Detroit got a, they're cousins in this shit. Like, when you think about the history in hip hop, it sounds very similar. It's that Midwest
music
soul,
in general.
That Midwest vibe. That Dilla, J. Dilla Common really like tied the Detroit, Chicago hip hop scenes, and then you got somebody like Kanye West from the Shine who put on Big Sean. It's like, you know, Chicago and Detroit are forever married in hip hop matrimony, like real shit.
Real shit.
It's lit, man.
That's what's up. So are you currently working on a mixtape, album, or EP?
I'm always working on music, man. Right now, I just signed a deal with Legendary Music Group. They're based out of L.A. They've been around for some time. And what's cool is it's a special thing. We got like a series of not necessarily albums or mixtapes or anything, but the way this deal was kind of set up is cool, where they helped me drop singles. And they put out these singles for me. And it's dope to after like many years of hard work to have a situation where it's like finally I've been independent doing everything from A to Z. Like basically what I mean by that is I gotta, you know, I make the music, but then I gotta think about promoting it. I gotta think about the music videos, getting the director. I gotta think about the artwork. I gotta think about the paperwork, getting the copyright in it, the publishing, the writing, the this, that, and the third. And it's like now I feel like I've kind of graduated to a place now where it's, motherfuckers is like, no, we're going to do that for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cats is investing now, and it's a beautiful feeling. So, you know, you're going to be seeing a lot of new Valid music coming out, whether it be singles or EPs. You know, I got a lot of shit in the works. I just don't want to speak on it too much because I don't got any dates set up, and I don't want to get nobody, like, excited for, like, any type of feature I got in the vault or anything like that. So, you know, I'm just chilling. But we got music coming out. Trust and believe that.
Shouts out to the music coming out. We all got music coming out, but look for that New Valid.
New Valid coming soon.
New Valid this Friday. Now, one thing I can say, we just announced yesterday the first single that LMG is dropping is dropping this Friday. It's called Buried Alive. We just, like, posted the artwork and a little snippet of it yesterday on social media. So be on the lookout. You can actually pre-save it right now on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever. And it's called Buried Alive. This Friday it drops from your man's Valid, yours truly.
That's a dope name. For that. And just in time for Halloween.
Just in time for Halloween. It's definitely got that vibe to it.
Hey, who's one artist that you would love to collaborate with? Is there any, like, dream feature that you have in your mind that growing up you were like, ooh, I gotta get this dude on the track?
The two it's funny, when people ask that question, like, usually, you know, we're in the hip-hop circle. The artists that come to mind usually aren't even rappers. They're either, like, producers or artists that are, like, from a whole different genre of music. Like, if you ask me, like, who would I love to collaborate with? If I got one, I could pick any artist in the world to collaborate with. Bro, I want to do some shit with Sade, like, straight up.
Hey, that's
lit. You know what I'm saying? Like some shit like that would be the biggest dreams come true.
Some creative shit.
Or like D'Angelo, some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Some R&B,
but
Neo,
as far as like hip hop and MCs go, the two that probably come to mind is one of them is Royce. I haven't knocked anything out with Royce. We've been on a couple of the same albums before. You know, and we've worked with a bunch of mutual people, like Apollo Brown, bunch of cats. You know, we don't work with mutual people, but me and Royce have yet to knock something out. And other than Royce, I would have to say probably Common, bro. Common is one of my all-time favorites that I would love to sit down and knock a joint out with if that, you know, blessing ever came across my table.
Shout out to Common.
Hey, shout out to Common.
Yeah.
He like thick girls like I like thick girls. Probably fuck some of the same bitches.
Hey, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. So, hey, if you wasn't doing music right now, what do you think you would be at today at this very moment? Is there anything?
If I wasn't doing music, bro, if I were to, like not counting, like, regular 9-to-5 shit. If I wasn't doing music, what passion would I be pursuing?
Do you have any other talents?
I'm a huge pro wrestling fan, bro. Ooh. And I'm not saying I'd be out here body slamming motherfuckers. Maybe. But I don't like to work out that much. So I don't know if being a pro wrestler would have ever been that for me. You know what I'm saying? Not that I don't like working out, but them cats are like...
Hey, I feel you on that.
You know what I'm saying?
I be watching the WWE Network, and sometimes I be looking at these old matches like, these dudes is way bigger than what I thought they was when I grew up watching this shit. It's like
you look at British Bulldog, and it's just like, God damn, this motherfucker had to live in the gym.
Let's no homo, like, but it's like, I don't got the body to be a wrestler. I could be a manager or announcer or something.
Exactly. So, I would be doing something in that world. Like, I'd be like a pro wrestling commentator or a writer. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'd be writing the storylines for, like, WWE or some shit right now.
Can't beat nobody's ass, but I'll write the fuck out of you.
yeah, man. You know what I mean? So something along those lines, you know, man. You know, when I was a kid, other than music, it was really... Pro wrestling was the shit to me to this day. I'm a wrestling nerd.
Shout out to Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. One of the greatest.
Hey, it's crazy.
Man, one of the sweetest matches ever in the history of pro wrestling happened in Chicago.
Stone Cold and Bret motherfucking Hart.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth. Bret Hart, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13. I watched that. My eyes were glued to the screen.
Hey, that's when I got into wrestling, bro. I remember my cousin went over there, shout out to PJ, And we ordered the pay-per-view to watch to see if we could see them in the audience. We never did because they was all the way in the back. But it's like, that's when I first fell in love with wrestling, just sitting there. And I didn't even want to watch it. My brothers and them was all into it. So I was like, I'll sit down and watch it. And I got, like, sucked in. Pause.
Oh, bro, I was so tuned into that match because the storyline that they built up to that point was so, so dope.
See, everything before that, I had to go back and look for. But it's like, anything after that, I saw.
And the match they had was just mean, and it was violent. And iconic. It fit the story that they were telling. And it was so dope because, like, at that time, the special guest referee for that match was Ken Shamrock. And at that time, Ken Shamrock was, like, one of the top dogs in the UFC. It would almost be like having a McGregor like referee a match at WrestleMania.
That's hot.
He was one of the top UFC guys
at that time. He was the shit.
He was reffing that shit.
He was on NBC and all that, being interviewed. They called him the world's dangerous man and all that shit. So yeah, he was definitely legit.
That to me, not to like nerd out, is one of the most like greatest matches because by the end of the match, the crowd switched. The crowd went from cheering Bret Hart when he came to the ring and booing Stone Cold. And at the end of that match, because the way they told that story, Bret Hart beat his ass. Like, they beat the crap out of each other and all that shit. But Stone Cold wouldn't give up. He passed out because he was bleeding so much. And he just wouldn't tap out. And it made the crowd like him. And it pissed Bret Hart off that they were cheering him. So then the crowd starts booing Bret Hart. And it was like, this is one of the coolest moments. Like, the good guy ended up becoming the bad guy, and the bad guy ended up becoming the good guy.
Shout out to Stone Cold. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the rest of the shit all day, and I'm sure we can because I can, but
hey,
it's like,
speaking of which, I got to do a special shout out. So I'm sponsored by Collar and Elbow Clothing. Dope-ass clothing line that's all, like, wrestling-themed clothing, t-shirts, hats, jackets, and they sponsor me. So shout out to, I don't know if y'all are familiar, maybe, legendary hardcore wrestler named Al Snow.
Al Snow,
with the mannequin head. He owns that company. He found, you know, that clothing line, Collar and Elbow. And it's super dope because it's like on some like hip hop street shit.
That's a dope ass sponsor. Shout out to Al Snow and Head.
Yeah, shout out to Al Snow. Shout out to Collar and Elbow Clothing.
Shout out to Head because that's what we love. We love Head.
Shout out to Head. Shout out to everybody who goes on there and uses my promo code Valid. Y'all help me, and you guys get dope gear, and you save a little bit of money.
So I'm going to look for that gear. Collar and elbows, definitely. But, yeah, we're going to save the wrestling shit. A couple months down the line, my podcast coming soon. Wrestle Dope. Check that out. In the meantime, Smith Express, crazy, never lazy. AOD in the building. Shout out to Detroit.
Yeah. We here, baby. It's Smith Valley.
But on a serious note, we got a question right here. What songs do you sing in the shower, bro?
What songs do I sing in the shower? It would probably be, Maxwell. Fortunate to have you, girl.
Classic.
That's the shower song.
That's a classic.
Girl. That's my shower song.
Damn, that's a classic. I love that song,
I'll be singing goddamn Jodeci like, every time I close my eyes, I wake up feeling so horny. That's my shit.
Man,
there you go.
Well, shout out to the shower. Shout out to the water bill. It's coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Water bill records.
Water bill crazy. Hey. Crazy.
that shit crazy. I'm pretty sure somebody out there with the label Water Bill Records.
Man, if my first name was Bill and I was rapping, oh man, I'd have a whole concept where like one song's called Water Bill, the next song's called like, you know, Phone Bill.
Hey, boss.
Shout out to Bill.
Hey, shout out to Bill.
Shout out to William.
Damn. Hey. Shout out to Richard and Dick.
Hey, let me ask you this question though, boss. Since you've been doing this music thing for quite some time, how do you feel how you feel about the internet changing the whole game?
It's good and bad, and I know that's a very cliche typical answer, but it's true. I think the good is this. You can be, you know, it's there's people out here like actually selling merch and getting some streams and getting some fans outside of their backyard, like outside of their hometown. you know, I got fans. I can get a fan in Japan. I can get a fan in France. I can get a fan in Germany, in Chicago, and whatever. And that's dope. That's super, super dope. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because back in the day, before the internet, I still, to this day, like, I fathom, like, shout out to Tech N9ne, like, an independent artist who was moving units when, before there was an internet, yet also without a major label. And to me, that shit still is, like, mind-boggling. Like, even if you tell me how they do it, it's still kind of like, at the time, when you think about when we, you know, grew up in the 90s or shit, and then if you grew up, even, like, in the early 2000s, like, the way you would discover a new artist for a lot of people was via what, dog? The major outlets, your MTV, your BET, your radio stations.
Magazines.
So the radio probably told you.
Shout out to Swords magazines, Murder Dog, exactly, all that shit. Exactly. Even your underground rappers, so, you had your underground magazines. You'll see them in the underground magazines and be like, oh, I want to check that out. That album cover looks tight, or that name is
exactly,
tight. You know,
dog. So,
I
want to
see what that is. Oh, he got a feature from Too Short. Oh, I want to see who that is, you know.
Exactly, dawg. So, like, back in the day, I think, like, the tunnels that you had to travel through to reach a listener and a potential fan were way smaller, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, to me, damn near impossible. Like, either you ended up getting a deal, and then they pumped you through the TV, the magazines, the whatever, or you were damn near an unknown. So the internet kind of changed that. But the problem with that is now there's so many Tech N9nes. Well, there'll never be another Tech N9ne, but I'm just saying there's so many people trying to do it, and which is cool. You know, I can't tell nobody to not do it. I'm doing it. But it hurts the way we consume the art. And I often have a theory that in the modern world, we still get excellent, excellent music. People always, like, bash the music, and they say, oh, you know, music ain't what it used to be. Yeah, it is. Like, you know, go listen to Anderson .Paak. Go listen to the new, you know, whoever, R&B music. It doesn't matter. And there's brilliant music still being made, like that's worthy of being called a classic. But the reason why we as humans kind of never hold it up is because the difference is back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and back when Marvin Gaye dropped an album, the whole block, the whole city was listening to Marvin Gaye. They didn't have that many options. You see what I'm saying? So in order for something to be classic, like the way we say Michael Jackson Thriller is, Marvin Gaye is, the way we say Nas is Illmatic is, the way we say Common, Resurrection, and Like Water for Chocolate are classics, is because, one, they were that good and they deserve those titles, and two, is because I feel like back in the day, five albums dropped a week, if that. Three to five albums dropped a week that was noteworthy, and you would run to the record store, and you only had so much to choose out of, and all the listeners only had so much to choose out of. So all the listeners, all the hip-hop fans, for the most part, are listening to the same shit. So everybody's checking out this album, and so many people listened to that one album, and they didn't just listen to it for a couple days. You went, you spent $15 to $20 on a CD, you're bumping that CD, if you like it, all summer long. So you become, you build a relationship with that music, you damn near know it by heart, and you do, your neighbor does, your friends at school do. Everybody's attention was on this one thing, and everybody loved it and played it for so long, and everybody says, man, this shit is classic. You see what I'm saying? That okay. Shit, I don't think exists anymore because of the internet. Because now, I'm listening to an artist that my neighbor probably doesn't even know exists. Because there's so much music. It ain't five albums that drops anymore. No. Now every person with a phone, which is damn near everyone in the world, has access to a never-ending ocean of musical artists. You see what I'm saying?
Real shit.
So everybody's listening to their own shit. And that's fine. That's cool. Like, you know, somebody might be listening to Valid on Spotify right now, and their homie doesn't even know who Valid is, and they're probably listening to somebody that I don't even know who is. You get what I'm saying? So it's become so spread out and saturated with so many different artists, so many subgenres of music, and so many endless options that I don't know if we'll ever see the entire hip hop community, because that word is so loose now. Some people think of hip hop, they think of, like, you know what I'm saying, motherfucking Nicki Minaj, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Meg Thee Stallion, you know, cats like that. While other people hear hip hop, they think Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, they think Apollo Brown, they think Elzai. You see what I'm saying? Royce the 5'9". It's almost like two completely different worlds. So, like, when you say hip hop community, quote unquote, in my eyes, and maybe I'm wrong, is I don't know if there's ever gonna be another album, another artist, another whatever, that the entire hip hop, that has the attention of the entire hip hop community and puts out a project where everybody says, this is that hot shit, and we're gonna be listening to this for the rest of our lives. The last person I can really, really think that kind of did that is, like, Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying? Like, nowadays, even Jay-Z drops an album, and he'll drop a classic album. Like, quality-wise, classic. Like, to me, 444 is an incredible album. But shout because out to 444. Of the world we live in, we talk about it for 2 to 3 weeks, dog, and then we move on to the next thing. And that's the biggest rapper of all time, with next to M, Pac, and Big. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But how long, like, Nas's album dropped about, what, a month or so ago? And he's got a couple videos out. How long are we going to be talking about King's Disease? You know, Big Sean just dropped Detroit 2. In my eyes, an incredible album. But the next day, there's 20 new albums. So we don't pay attention. We don't build the same relationship with the music we used to. And we listen to music differently. And I was reading that this is something that has, like, why lo-fi hip-hop is so, like, hot right now and extreme. Because music almost just becoming like background noise. You see what I'm saying? The only time we really listen in the modern world is while we're driving. You know, that's I can just speak from my own experience. When I'm listening to music, I'm genuinely, like, consuming every word the rapper is saying is when I'm driving. You know, I'm paying attention to what I'm driving, and I'm not driving like an asshole or nothing. And my brain is listening to the words. But how often do we nowadays do what we used to do in the 90s, where listening to music was an actual activity? You took the CD or the vinyl record or the tape, you put it in a CD player, you put your headphones on, you laid in your bed and you looked at the ceiling, and you just sat there with the music, just like you watch a movie, just like you read a book. I don't think people often listen to music like that anymore. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm sure there's people that still do, but it's the internet is good and bad, and it's changed the relationship of music. And yes, you can still have a classic album, but you're gonna have a classic album with the community that fucks with you. You see what I'm saying?
True.
So so to Big Sean fans and maybe Detroit hip hop fans, Detroit 2 is a classic. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. To Jay-Z fans, 444 is a classic. You know, so it's music is in a weird place, man. It's like, it's just so much of it. It's hard to say, it's hard for us to have a classic. You know what I mean? Because we're all in our own different world, bro.
True, I agree.
And that's kind of my theory on music right now. And it's a lot of things, man. Even in wrestling. Like, okay, I'm a wrestling fan. I watch old wrestling clips on the WWE Network, and I see how intense the crowd is and how in-tuned they are. You know why? Because they didn't have a phone in their hand to distract them from what was going on in the ring.
True.
And, you know, you may buy a ticket to Monday Night Raw, and you go, the match is happening, but you're checking your Twitter, or a news article just popped up on your phone, and you're reading something about Biden and Donald Trump while motherfucking John Cena is body slamming somebody right in front of you. We're all in our own world, bro, and it's a crazy time to be alive.
Really, a hell of a time to be alive.
I agree. But since you got a huge catalog, though, what would you say is your favorite song to perform?
My favorite song to perform,
something that get the crowd going.
Probably I'm Blessed. That's a lot of people's favorite song that I ever made. It's called I'm Blessed, produced by the legendary Dez, DJ Dez from Detroit. You know, that was like Slum Village's DJ. He produces a lot of like dance music and hip hop music, soul music. He's super legendary, respected here in Detroit. Produced by DJ Dez, or AKA Dez Andres. And that's my dog. And yeah, I'm Blessed. There's a video for it. It's a single, valid, I'm Blessed. When I start performing that one, it's just like the crowd lights up because it's such a feel-good record. And people just start singing along with it, and it's catchy, and it's just like a short, sweet record, only two verses, a hook, little bridge, but it's just catchy. The message is positive, and it just reminds you that kind of no matter whatever you're going through in your life, you probably got so many things to be grateful for, but we even myself included, often tend to focus on the two or three negative things in front of us and forget that you got two working arms, you got two legs, you know what I'm saying? You can see, you can breathe, you got a roof over your head, you got water in your fridge. And we take these things, like the simple thing, for granted because we focus so much on the shit that's pissing us off. And that song is just kind of a reminder to, yo, don't forget to count your blessings. Don't worry about all the shit that sucks. We have all this shit to be thankful for. It's kind of the point of the song.
That's real.
Real shit. Hey, what's some of the best advice you've ever been given?
Sean Price, dog.
Sean Price?
Years ago, Sean Price gave me advice. And I met him one time, dog. You know what I'm saying? He probably didn't even remember me, maybe 15 minutes after meeting me. I don't know. basically, we were at the shelter, and my man, DJ Butter, got me into the shelter before the show. And it was kind of like the Detroit release party for the release of Random Acts, which was the group Guilty Simpson, Sean Price, and Black Milk.
Dope album. Yeah, that was a dope-ass group. Hey.
Yeah.
Low-key, Price is one of my top five. At one point, I was calling him number one.
Everybody's top five.
He's in my top five, man. Like, Sean Price, well, if you know, you know, but some people don't. So he's like in my top five.
Well, he gave me one of the coolest pieces of information, man. At that time, I just really started hitting the streets hard, and people were just learning about who I was and who's this fucking random white boy with long hair and a big fucking nose that's at every hip hop event and making noise out here and passing out mixtapes and this, that, and the third. And at that time, I had this little my picture and my information. It wasn't an article or nothing like that. But like my picture and information ended up in XXL magazine, and I'm all like, you know, excited and blah 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 blah. And so I meet Sean Price. I'm just like, yo, dog, what up, dog? Blah, 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 blah. I'm talking to him. I give him a mixtape. I said, look, man, my name is Valid. You know, and he was just kind of like, he just woke up from a nap. I was like, I don't know if I want to talk to this guy right now. But nobody was really there. It was like me, Sean Price, a couple other people that worked at the venue were there. I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be down here right now, but fuck it. So I shake his hand. He's like, what up, man? Pleasure to meet you. And I told him who I am. I said, hey, dog, I've worked with a couple, you know, people that you may know. And, you know, I'm just out here passing out mixtapes for free. You know, I just had my picture in XXL, my SMA, just introduced myself. I had nothing really on the table. Like, I didn't make an EP. I didn't have a new album. I was fresh out the gate. But he just sent something. He's like, dog, I see you grinding. He goes, I want to let you know this. I can tell right now just by the way you're talking. He's like, in the way you're talking to me and presenting yourself, very, like, you're passionate. And you got that, like, gusto. You know what I'm saying? And he was just like, I appreciate and respect your hustle and grind, bro. I see you out here with your backpack. I see you doing everything. You're doing it, you know, cool, cool, cool. And he goes, but here's my piece of advice. Once you get on, quote unquote, and once you get in the game, whatever that may be for you, whatever that may mean for you, wherever you make it, quote unquote, he was like, that's where the grind really begins. He goes, a lot of artists, they think getting that record or getting in the game and blowing up is the finish line. Like, that's the trophy, and you won and you beat the game. He's like, no, that's how you fall off. Basically, he was saying, like, that's where the game really, really starts. He's like, you know, it's hard to make it in the game. It's even harder to stay in the game.
and maintain that shit. That's
what he was just trying to tell me is, you know, all this grinding doesn't stop when you get your first check or some shit like that. You know, if you get, you know, you sign a Def Jam tomorrow, the grind don't stop. The grind just gets even heavier and harder.
Yeah, that's
and I always just kind of took that to myself of just get prepared. Like, if you really want this as a lifestyle, you know, my motherfucker that just told you that's a legend, one of the most respected names in the world, just told you it gets harder when you get on. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder when you start getting money. So, you know, I always just found that to be true advice. And yeah, I just kind of kept that one close to my heart because it's Sean P, the only time I ever met him, one of my favorite rappers ever. And simple as that.
Rest in peace, Sean Price.
Man, rest in peace, Sean Price. Hey, yeah. If you could change anything in the industry, what would you change?
Oh, man, I got a very quick answer to that. I just did, like, a little Instagram post that a lot of people were commenting on. Like, I did, like, I was just talking to the camera for a few minutes, and it's this payola shit got to go. What I mean by that is, like, see, y'all set up this interview with me, and it came from a place of genuine, we fuck with you, we see you grinding. It came from a place of, like, you know, I don't know how familiar y'all are with my music, but I'm assuming somewhat if you guys are having me on your show. But it came from a place of music or merit, something like that, where y'all hit me up and say, hey, we would love to have you. Cool. A lot of this shit in this game, I only fuck with genuine shit like this, like what we're doing right now.
A lot of this other shit, you know, is...
It's pay to play shit, it's whack shit, it's garbage, and it just comes from a place of, this is no longer even about the art. Like, if you have the right funds behind you, you can get certain rappers with certain clout to say you're dope, even if they don't really believe that in their heart. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I'm already knowing.
That shit gotta go.
Like, you see artists nowadays are having people pay to get on their mixtapes and they host it. Like, I'm already knowing.
And that's why I said, like, I was just seeing so much of it and seeing the scam. And at the end of the day, dog, I treat this shit just like anything else. My father was a mechanic. I never seen my father pay someone to fix their car. Do you get what I'm saying? So the whole concept in my eyes, in my opinion, is I understand this is business. I understand this shit is all about exposure and blah, 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 blah. I get it. But at the end of the day, like, let's say, you know, if I get called, which I have before, to come rock in Chicago, I'm not paying, like, to open up for somebody in Chicago. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, sure. I rap. That's what I do. And at the end of the day, I rap just like my father fixes cars, just like, you know, a baker bakes cakes. The baker isn't going to pay you to bake you a cake. You know, now, if it's some type of situation where it's like Barack Obama's having like a speech and they need cake there and Barack Obama's people call you to bake a cake, you may say it's on the house just for the exposure and to add that to your resume. That's a different question, but at the end of the day, dog, let's keep the art pure. Let's keep the art about the art. And let's keep the good looks an artist gets as a reward, not as a receipt. You see what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't be able to pay a DJ to play my song, you know, 10 times a day on the radio. And I've been in situations like that. And when I was younger, I didn't know. I was really, really, really green behind the ears. And I just thought, oh, I guess this is just the way it is. And unfortunately, I was right. It is the way it is. But then I learned I don't want it like that. You know what I mean? If I get called to rock a show, I need to know is because of the music and the hard work I put in. You see what I'm saying? If I get called, you know, if a DJ's playing my song on the radio, I need to know it's because of what I created in the studio. And it's because that DJ thought the song was dope and that DJ thought his following would fuck with the record. And it was important for him, for his following to hear that record. You know, it has to be about the art to me at the end of the day. And it's just like, you know, we shouldn't abuse this beautiful thing called hip hop and music and whatever. Let's keep the results pure. Really, that's the biggest thing I would change is that payola shit, that all that garbage. You know, I have no problem with somebody paying money for a feature. I have no problem somebody paying money for an advertisement. You know, I've done that. Bought Facebook ads, Instagram ads, billboard ads, shit like that. That's fine, because at the end of the day, I understand this is a business. But I don't want to spend money to create a facade. Like, you know what I'm saying? To create, like, I'm not going to pay rappers to say I'm dope to convince the listeners to think I'm dope. That shit's whack. Oh, that's garbage. And I don't want it like that. You know, that'd be like if you try to make it in the NBA. So you paid the Chicago Bulls to let you play in the game. You didn't make it to the NBA if you paid the Bulls to let you play on the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, you weren't good enough at basketball. That's what that means. Like, if you had to pay the Chicago Bulls to let you be a member on their team, it don't work like that. If you're dope, people are going to pay you for the good looks and the opportunities. You know what I mean? It has to come from a genuine place. When Apollo Brown called me to be on his album with the rest of, like, the best MCs alive in Detroit right now, yo, that shit meant the world to me, and it came from a genuine place. Yo, I see you working hard, your music is buzzing, so obviously it's good. Come on, come hop on this album. Thank you, Apollo Brown, I'll be happy to, sir. You know what I mean? So it needs to come from a pure place. It's really what it boils down to.
That's cool, that's cool. I definitely understand it. You know what I'm saying? I won't keep you too long. You feel me?
Yeah, you're good.
Man, keep grinding, man. You sound like you got a lot going for yourself.
Man, salute. You got to stay busy.
You got the features. You got the shows, the traveling, man. All that, man. Like,
man, I appreciate you guys. Meeting legends and shit. You know, and keep doing what you guys are doing, because obviously this goes back to what I just said. Y'all are doing this from a pure place, from a genuine place. Y'all interviewing motherfuckers y'all genuinely rock with. You know
we're
what
trying
I'm
to give a platform. And, we're trying to give a platform, and yeah, definitely, we genuinely fuck with everybody on this show. So, shouts out to every guest we ever had. Shouts out to the homie Valid.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all big time. Shout out to Shot City. Shout out to Detroit. Shout out to the whole world. When this COVID shit ends, I swear I'm coming to a town near you and rocking the nearest microphone in sight.
313, fuck free world.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
All right. Yo.
Big homie Valid, 313.
Big homie Valid, man, definitely did his thing. You know what I'm saying? Man, in my eyes, definitely a legend in the making. Got a long history.
Got a nice little catalog and everything, man. Impressive. I'm impressed. And we go check out that single with Valid and Elzai later on when I get
that's
home and
dope.
Shit. Yeah.
Definitely on this shit. Good to see that, man.
Yeah, definitely.
For real. Man.
Smith Express.
You know what I'm saying? We here live.
We bring it to you all the time.
That was a dope interview.
Dope.
You know what I'm saying? Even to see his point of view. You know what I'm saying? I think he definitely, you know what I'm saying, got some shit. Got some shit going that's finna happen, that's finna shake up the world. Man, and there you have it. Smith Express.
Struck.
Netto Man in the building.
Signing
we out.
Peace.